Third Sunday, plodding right along, aren't we? Hopefully you haven't given up on whatever resolutions you've made, on working on trying to find what inside your heart, your mind, my heart, my mind, makes us tick, trying to uncover it, place it on the altar so that the Lord can transform it as he does the bread and the wine. You'll recall that every year during Lent, the first two Sundays are always the same. The first one is always the temptation in the desert, and the second one is always the transfiguration. Then the remaining weeks will deviate different readings according to which year we're in. We're in our second year, which we call year B, because we're highly intellectual and love names. So we call it year B so that we can't be confused with A or C. Year B is going to take us down a certain path, different than C and certainly different than A. All the weeks, other than the first two, the similarities will be the first reading will be an overarching look at salvation history. So recall last week, covenant of Abraham. What was today? Covenant with Moses. We'll get to the remaining later. The gospel will follow Jesus' path to the crucifixion. Jesus knows full well what he's doing, and he's heading there. He's not running from it. Perfect lesson for us as we go through Lent, and some of us who are afraid to look inside of ourselves can take great courage. We need not fear the cross. As a matter of fact, it's the cross that gives us life. Because unless the grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. And he who seeks his own life loses it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So why do we need commandments? Well, simple. If we had a covenant last week with Abraham, why do we need a new covenant with Moses? Because we're not all that intelligent. We seem to have this thread running through our bloodstream that I would call the Adam and Eve syndrome, a great tendency to rebel against God, a great need to think that we know more than God does. And so God continually has to make new covenants with us in hopes that this next generation will actually give in to the Holy Spirit and allow God to walk with them, as opposed to be on the sideline like a Cupid doll or a good luck charm that we only pull out when we're in crisis and we never think about what God's intentions are or what God's desires are. So the commandments are critical for us because, after all, when we've sinned, what is usually our excuse? No one told me. I didn't know. Well, the church just hasn't taught us that. Well, the church changes. Well, blah, blah, blah. You know, like what our children do with parents. You never told me. You never told me I couldn't have, what, a cookie today? No, I told you no sweets. Yeah, but is cookie really a sweet? I think it's a baked good. That's a little different than a sweet. Sweet would be like a hard candy, right? See how we work. This is the human condition, and this is why God in his greatness, his generosity, and his unconditional love continues to beckon us and throw us bones, even though we may not deserve it. And he's throwing us another one today, not just with the commandments, because after all, the commandments only have to do, you know, limited. They won't solve the problem. We have to actually accept them and engage with them. The gospel, on the other hand, shows us why the commandments are important. So here's the temple area. We've talked about this before, so remember what the temple area was, the place of worship. It was the center of life. It really was the center of life. Hard for us to imagine because for most of us, church is, you know, Sunday or when we can make it. But not for them. Intentionally had the temple in the middle of the life, of the world, of commerce, of everything. No matter where you went, the temple was prominent. You could always see it, even when you're down in your valley, spiritually as well as physically. All you have to do is look up, and there's hope, the temple, God's presence, God in our midst. The temple was simply constructed, if we could use this church as a very limited example, this center section would be for male Jews only. Women Jews would be relegated maybe over to the side if they were lucky. Gentiles had the back, what we call the vestibule, behind the plexiglass. This was the intention of the temple. Everyone had access to worship. Everyone had access to God. Differing degrees, it may be unfair, take it up with the Lord. But this was God's plan for the chosen people and for the outsiders, the Gentiles. See, sometimes we think that the Gentiles never had a place with God. They always had a place with God. It was the scribes and the Pharisees that kept pushing them out, which is why Jesus keeps calling them out. Today, it's those who are in charge of the temple precincts who are being called out. Jesus is not upset that they're exchanging animals for money. After all, again, it's a dictate. People have to sacrifice. And when you're traveling great distances, if you're coming from Detroit without a car or a bus or Amtrak, and you have to bring your livestock to sacrifice, half of those chickens are going to die along the way. So it only makes sense that you would have one-stop shopping. Meyer thought he had it. He didn't have it. The temple had it. One-stop shopping. You come, you give your money, they give you an animal, you bring it in, it's slaughtered, you're right with God. The problem is the marketing became, and the economics began to take over. By taking over, I mean slowly, they were on the outside, around the church, so as you entered, you had to be purified, the baths. And then once you come in, someone would escort your animal for you so that you wouldn't be unclean into the chamber where it would be slaughtered. What ended up happening is they started to move the animals into the vestibule. Well, there's not enough room for the Gentiles and the animals, so who's going to be pushed out? The Gentiles. They go out that side door. So this is what Jesus is upset about. He's not upset that they're giving animals. They have to do it. He's upset that they're preventing people access to God. And here's our thought for the week. Are we doing the same? Have we allowed our economy, whatever that means, it can mean many things for many people, but it's our, that's the key word, our desire, our drive, our intention to push worship out, to push God out, to push access to God, to push people out? What in our own heart have we allowed to occupy a space that only God should have privilege to? That might be a different examination of conscience. Not just our reflection on the world. This is why the commandments are so important. We're not living in isolation. This is not God's intention. God's intention is that we live as a family. And as all families, God's family has rules. I don't know. Mom always said, I don't know what they're doing next door, but in this house, it's ham on Easter. The Polish can have their kielbasa. What? I didn't hear you. Turkey? That's for Thanksgiving. Where have you been? See, we all have it, don't we? And we can sit here and fight over it. But it's not your house, and it's not my house. Right now, we're in God's house. And what is He serving up? His only begotten Son. You and I can disagree all we want about whether we like it or not, but this is what's being served up. This is what our host is providing for us. And our host is different than any other host. This one has the words of eternal life. And so the commandments, a couple of them pertain to God because God is center. If we don't have God, then we really don't know how to live life, do we? Think about our current culture. The heresy that is going on today has always gone on. It's one of two extremes, that either the body doesn't matter, and so we can reinvent it all we want, or the body is the end-all be-all. And so we have to keep sinking money into it, trying to find the stream of, what do they call it? Everlasting life. Thinking that this is it. This is it. This is all there is. So we have to make the best of it. Fountain of youth. That was it. Thank you. And so we seek the fountain of youth, or it doesn't matter, that we're like pure spirits floating around, and God doesn't care what we do because we're just pure spirits. The incarnation shows us God cares very much about this world. It's his creation, after all. And you are a temple, which is the point of our readings today. And our temple comes with rules. And those rules can't be banished or disregarded simply because of what we want, our economy, our trading, our marketplace, whatever that means for you, whatever your sin is that is keeping God at a distance, that is not letting him into the temple, that needs to be cleansed, and sometimes with a whip. Jesus is taking things very seriously, and he's inviting us to do the same. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, as imperfect as you are, and it's a glorious temple, and it's not a mistake. God has an intention behind your particular structure, your particular design of your particular temple. Tall, short, large, thin, highly intellectual, Nevins. Doesn't matter. God has an intention for all of us. And if you and I are dissatisfied with the temple, we need to repent. As we go through our week this week, we're invited to consider our temple. Do we take Jesus at his word? They're lost. They think he's talking about the building. He doesn't care about buildings. He cares about you. This building isn't going to go on to eternity. Eternity either in the positive sense or the negative. You, your temple is. By virtue of baptism, you will live forever. Where you live will depend on how open you are to the movement and promptings of the Holy Spirit. We're invited this week to take this message seriously, just as Jesus did. We think Jesus is just this warm fuzzy. He's got a whip in his hand, people. He's serious. Are we serious? We invoke the Holy Spirit because it's the Holy Spirit that brings about change, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit that is the sanctifier, that sanctifies the world, sanctifies your work, your intentions, your little small acts of kindness. It's the Holy Spirit that magnifies them and transforms them, makes them more than what they are. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to change bread and wine into the gift of Jesus' very body and blood, which is going to feed you this beautiful day. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us make our temples worthy of the Lord's presence.